This morning, I wanted to share with you what the Lord has put on my heart. You know, there's so many times that we hear things that, oh, you know, Easter's a pagan holiday and Christmas is a pagan holiday and has pagan roots and all of these other things. But you know, if you're worshiping it as a pagan element, well, then I guess it is. But you know, this is like a beautiful time for us to be able to see the lights, to think about the shining star, to think about the Christ child, to put ourselves in a place where this time of year is probably the easiest time to talk to people about Jesus. Because it's like almost expected in some ways. And so this morning, I want to share with you how I have seen and experienced Christmas without Christ. Now, can I tell you, if we're celebrating Christmas without Christ, it is a pagan holiday. A message of Christmas without Christ focuses on the secular themes, like generosity and family and peace and light and winter traditions, highlighting human connection, giving, and goodwill. But focusing on these secular themes rather than divine salvation empties the holiday of its core meaning. The holiday becomes meaningless. That's a great word, Peter. Meaningless. So many things have become acceptable over the last several generations. So many have tried to take God and religion out of public life for fear that it will offend somebody. So we don't thank God at Thanksgiving. We're told just to be thankful. At Christmas, we want to have a happy holiday with no religious intrusion. Christmas has always been a time of peace on earth, joy to the world, and goodwill toward mankind. Have you ever noticed that even the pagans are a little bit nicer at Christmas? So the secular people of our country want to keep the peace and the joy and goodwill in this winter holiday, but they want to do it with all religious references avoided. So what they really want, the world, is Christmas without Christ. That's the world. What they are desiring would be like having Veterans Day without any mention of veterans, war, death, or sacrifice. Or celebrating President's Day, but not mentioning them old president that nobody really cares about anyway. Do you see how foolish this would seem? And yet, that's what our society would like. Christmas without Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And we thank you for what you have done. We thank you for the Christ child, for a promise made, and that birth a promise kept. For without the child, the Lamb of God, there would be no sacrifice. And so, Lord, we come before you this morning with a grateful heart. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds this morning that we may actively put Christ back in Christmas. And in your name we pray, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. So, did you notice the slide? It says something's missing. Did you notice that the manger was empty? Because see, that wouldn't offend anybody. I'm wondering if they would let that be at City Hall, have a manger scene but no baby in it. Would that be okay? I don't know. Just thinking that. You know, we got to realize that the joy, the peace, and goodwill literally flow from the reason for the season. God, our Creator, has come to earth to save us from our sins, our guilt, our shame, and to change us into the kind of people we all want to be around. I'm constantly seeing things that make me go, Have you ever gone, when you've seen something? I do all the time. I see things. Have you ever seen a decoration that says, joy to the world? Joy to the world. And then it stops. That's it. Joy to the world. That describes our world. But without the next line, there's no reason for joy to the world. What's the next line? The Lord has come. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. You see, with only part of it, we don't get the full meaning. We don't even get the full blessing. So many things are being left out. Do you know that? In our society, so many things are being left out. Did you know we have winter programs, including decorating our classrooms with Santa Claus, Kwanzaa, menorahs. Oh, and here's another one for you. La Bafana. La Bafana is the Christmas witch. Oh, you didn't know that? But nothing about Jesus. We see songs being banned because they have a Christmas theme or motive. Banning nativity scenes, banning Christmas songs in school, banning Christmas in advertising. Happy holiday! Calling a Christmas tree now a holiday tree. Oh, our city just did it this year, calling the Christmas parade a holiday parade because we don't want to offend anybody. Refusing to mention the reason for the season. It's time to take a stand for our children, our families, our faith, and our freedom. Amen? You know, statements like joy to the world tell us only half the story. Those of you who are older know the full statement. And it's joy to the world, the Lord has come. But society today, children believe that Christmas, that this holiday, is about Santa Claus. They have no idea that joy to the world is because the Savior, a Savior whose name is Jesus. As time goes on and the church is asleep, society embraces the secular themes of generosity, family, peace, light, the winter traditions over the real season purpose. And can I tell you, something's missing. Do you know, even when the world celebrates Christmas the way they want to celebrate it, do you know it still ends up being an empty holiday? There's still something that's missing. They're looking for something. They're looking for answers. Where is the joy to the world? They're looking and looking because they know that something is missing. And that something is Jesus. I see so many people struggling as to what they should say, or when they approach other people, they don't want to be, you know, offend other people. I see it all the time. You know, oh, well, happy holiday, And I just turn and I go, Merry Christmas. Like, I'm not afraid about it. Oh, Merry Christmas to you too. You see, they want to say it. They want it. But they're afraid of getting beaten up. I'll take a few hits for the Lord. Right? They're so afraid to offend somebody. Should we say Merry Christmas or Happy Holiday? School's having a holiday break or a winter break. There's no mention of Christmas. My growing up, we used to always say, oh, we got a Christmas break. Christmas break. Christmas break. Woo! Let it snow. Christmas break. But you know, even when they're talking about the break from school, there's no mention of Christmas. There's no mention of Christ. You know, should holiday decorations on public property include an activity scene or not? That's another big controversy. You know, but we can have people pray out 5 times a day with horns and sirens and nobody can say anything about that. But, you know, gee, a nativity scene, that could be really offensive. Yeah, that baby looks terrifying, doesn't it? Oof, man, I'll just, you know, Do you know that companies are debating over public Christmas celebrations in the beginning and just before October? Companies want to test the water because, you know, it's all about sales and we don't want to offend anybody. So do we not do the Christmas thing and do like the Jesus thing, but just, you know, kind of ease into it and that'll make people feel good, then they'll buy our products? Or do we not do any Jesus and we get the all non-believers buying stuff, but the believers won't buy stuff? Or I mean, they're dancing before October. You see, it's not about truth. It's about money. What we are presented with is the issue of compromise. Now, I know that some of us don't want to hear this because, I mean, there is a lot on our plate. We have a lot of facets in our life, family members, work life, you know, friends, all these things, and they're all, you know, hitting at you. But can I just tell you something? If you won't compromise, if you will stand your ground, you will find that there are others who wish they had the same courage that you do, and they will join you. But if you never speak up, they will never know. You see, when we don't speak up, we bought into the compromise. We're dancing that fine line down the middle of the road. And you've heard me say it over and over again. If you're walking the fine line, you're going to get hit from traffic coming both ways. There's no safe place walking the line down the middle. Make a decision. Choose Christ. Stand on it. You might find out that more people respect you. They may not even believe what you believe, but they will respect you for your commitment to your faith. And that is a witness to them. The commitment of the church today is guided by the commitment of consumers rather than godly leaders. I'm talking about the men and women who stand in the pulpit. They have a consumer mentality rather than standing on the Word of God. A certain mode of thinking exists in a great number of churches today that say we should give the people what they want rather than what they need. I just preach the Word of God. You love it? Come. If you don't love it, okay, leave. I don't get a salary. I don't know who what you tithe. All I know is that we get to meet here and we pay our bills, and we do have bills. We have our internet stuff, our website stuff, all that stuff. It costs money. But I don't know what people tithe, and I don't want to know. That's between you and the Lord. Because I don't want anybody to go, oh, well, you know, he's friends with so-and-so because, like, they're the biggest tither. I don't know. But I am disheartened when I realize that, you know, people in the pulpit are trying to preach what people want to hear so that they can keep the numbers, so that they can keep the finances, because they run the church like a business instead of running it as the house of God. And I'm not saying that we don't be responsible, but there's a difference between giving people what they want and what they need. Amen? Please don't be offended. If you are, okay. You see, addressing the felt needs is the watchword of our day. I hear so many people saying this in ministry. I see it on TV. I hear it on the radio. Of course, felt needs is simple. Simply put another way, just talking about selfish desires. You know, one of the signs that, pictures that hang in my office is a gift that was given to me from Peter. And the pastor standing at the pulpit, and there's a congregation, and they all have signs telling the pastor what to do, and the pastor has sweat beads coming down his face. And I look at that and I laugh every time, because I say, you know what? I'm not going there. And Pete, that's why Peter gave it to me, you know, because I look at it and I chuckle, you know. Sometime you're over my house asking, I'll show it to you. But you see, when those from the pulpit give you what you want, it means that they're feeding into selfish desires. You know, I come to church, Pastor, because I want you to make me feel good. You should be saying, Pastor, I come to church because I'm a sinner, saved, and I need to be reminded that I need a redeemer. I need someone to pay that price for me. I need to be reminded that I need Jesus. Amen? And that's what we do. Yeah, so we're in a place in our world today where we want to find out what people need, and then we want to kind of meet that need rather than standing on the Word of God. Can anything be more completely contrary to Scripture? Lost people don't know what they need. That's why they're lost. Does that make sense? We are to be the city set upon a hill, shining forth the light of the gospel, that men might see their true need, come to Christ, and be saved. When the church has a lack of commitment to Christ, the world sees this move as a compromise. We have more churches that are taking Christ out of their messages. We have more churches that are flying rainbow banners in their church. Churches that have to tell you everybody's welcome here, which means everybody's not welcome there, because if you have to tell me it, right? So the church has a lack of commitment to Christ. And the world sees this move as a compromise, as a lack of commitment. And the church is sending the message that Christ is not as important as we all make him out to be. Do you see that today? Now, I'm going to tell you, this is just a personal story. And I know my mom is watching. Love you, Mom. But sometimes she gets upset because I tell you real things. She goes, you shouldn't be telling them what went on in our family. None of their business. I said, well, Mom, when you move up here, you can tell them yourself. I grew up very much in Catholicism. My grandfather is 100% Jewish, and so we went to temple. My Boy Scout troop was in the Protestant church, the Baptist church, and so we went there many times for services. And my mom said, when you're 18, you can decide what you want to do. We all led a really crazy life with schedules. We were involved in sports and music and you name it, we were in it. Three kids, mom and dad running here and there and everywhere. So the one time that we were together as a family on purpose was always Sunday for dinner. When was dinner? Noon. So I said to mom, well, mom, we're in church. She goes, well, that's our family day. I said, okay, well, if dinner's at noon, Jeannie and I will be there at 1 o'clock for dessert. That didn't go over really well, if you can understand. But my mom, over a period of time, understood that we weren't playing church. That our faith was going to be the pinnacle of our relationship, our marriage, of who we were. We had people that had birthday parties on Sunday. Hey, we're going to have a birthday party at 10 o'clock. Great, we'll see you at 1. Well, it'll be over then. All right, we'll send a gift. Our kids knew that every Sunday, we were getting, it didn't matter. I wasn't a pastor when we were going to church. Every Sunday, we would get up and drive over an hour to go to our church. And it didn't matter. Because it got to a point where people would say, oh, well, if you want Steve and Jeannie to be at that event, better be after 1 o'clock because they won't be there. They will be in church. I tell you this story because my children know that their mom and dad love Jesus more than them. Jesus is first in our life. When we finally figured that one out, when I realized that my relationship this way made my relationship this way better, when I realized that my job is not to make my wife happy, her job is not to make me happy. And because of that, we're very happy. There are some of you here, and there have been some that have been in this congregation, who come to Jeannie and I asking that we would pray for the salvation of their children, their wayward sons and wayward daughters. They're just running rampant. They're doing this, they're doing that. And we do. But it doesn't cease to amaze me that when that family has an event happening at 11 o'clock, they tell the children, okay, well, we won't go to church. We're going to go to your thing. You see, you just compromised and told your kids that your faith in Jesus Christ is not the most important thing, and you elevated your children above Jesus. Do you think they're going to come to a God that they feel that they are better than? I'm just presenting this to you. I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. I want you to understand the subtleness of your commitment will determine what your children see as the seed planted in their life. Now, you don't have control over their salvation. We still pray for our children daily, nightly. But I will tell you this. If you ask them, where does mom and dad stand? They'll tell you that too. And it's not because dad's a pastor. It is not. Because we did this before we ever pastored a church. Threw all the kids in a car, drove an hour, stayed there for 2.5, 3 hours, then drove home. And nobody lived where we lived. That's why we planted the church up here. We wouldn't have to drive so far. Don't compromise if you want to be the light that's going to be a change agent in somebody else's life. And I'm talking about you and your kids. Or you and your parents. Anyway, that's not even in my notes. This is not the message the church should be sending to the lost and dying world, that we compromise, put the world first, our feelings first, our needs first, our desires first, and then Jesus is something we have on the shelf that, oh, when we get in trouble, we pull him off, we give the little rub on the lantern and give him our wishes. God doesn't honor that. He doesn't play that way. And yet, if you do, you'll find out that's why your prayers don't get answered. Does that make sense? Okay, all right. I can move on, I guess. I also see today that many who are presenting the idea that Christmas is about family. Now, this is going to shake some of you, I know, but you know what? You'll get over it. You'll love me anyway. While family is certainly important, I'm telling you it is. I think my greatest concern of replacing a focus on Christ with the focus on family is that family actually means nothing apart from Christ. And if a family we know becomes focused on the presence of our Christmas morning to the exclusion of the worship of God, we're embracing materialism. You know, in our home, we set a tradition, one that as soon as we had our first child, Samantha, Christmas morning, yeah, we have presents. Why? Because the Magi brought presents. Jesus brought gifts. Jesus asked us what we needed, right? I mean, so we're not about the presents. But when those kids got up, they came, they sat in the living room, and they waited for mom and dad to wake up, which usually wasn't far behind for boisterous children. And we sat, and they sat at my feet. Jeannie sat beside me. I open up the Bible, and I read Luke chapter 2. And I read the story of Jesus' birth so that they remember this is what it's about. And I'm not saying presents are bad. Like I said, the Magi brought them. Jesus gave. He asked people what they wanted. And through Christ, we have received many blessings. We just need to be cautious as to what our focus is. A few ways to keep Christ in Christmas. Because I figured if I did this and I didn't give you a few little nuggets that you can, I know some of you take pictures of the screen. Some of you write them down. And then I got it. A few ways to keep Christ in Christmas at this time of year. There's a to-do list can become the focus of Christmas more than Christ. Shopping for family and friends and baking. Our kitchen looks like a bomb blew up in it. I mean, there's baking powder and cookies and her mint squares. And yummy. Wrapping paper and, you know, we got parties we're going to and we're preparing for Christmas and it's just busy. It's so busy. And can I tell you, it's exhausting. It is. Christmas isn't always the happy thing that a lot of us believe it is. You should come to school with me this week. I'll show you children whose behavior will escalate as we get to the weekend, because they don't want to be at home. School is their safe place. You see, it's not the same for everybody. So let's commit to keep Christ in Christmas. And because we said amen, thank you, Peter, for speaking for everybody, I'm going to give you a couple of nuggets so you can write these down or jot them down or take a picture, whatever you do. How do we keep Christ in Christmas? Ready? Read the Bible story with your family. Start a new tradition. This is a simple way to start and the best way to remember what brought our Savior into the world. Read portions of all the following biblical passages documenting the original Christmas. I'll give you two so you can write them down. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through chapter 2, verse 23. And my all-time favorite, we've been doing it for decades. I love looking back at my kids and seeing the smile. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Okay? That's one. Next one. How to keep Christ in Christmas. Walk through Old Testament prophecies about the birth of Christ. Go to the Old Testament. It's loaded. Oh, and by the way, there are scriptures, so many scriptures in the Old Testament that tell us about Jesus and his birth, the Son of God. And when you do the research and you go, why don't the Jewish people believe that? Do you want to know why? Because the rabbis wouldn't teach it. Oh, I'm doing a whole study on that right now. It's literally blowing my mind. Okay, small explosion, but it is amazing. It is amazing to me. Because I'm reading scripture, Jewish scripture, and I'm going, this talks about God and his son. Like, come on. Anyway, let's move on. So jump into the old tire, the Old Testament prophecies document the coming of Messiah. Several of these deal directly with the birth of Christ. Reading through the Old Testament prophecies about Christmas and seeing the New Testament fulfilled in Christ is a powerful way to build your faith and to focus on Christ in Christmas. Number three. Use an Advent calendar with scripture in it. Don't just get an Advent calendar, okay? I know a guy who stole an Advent calendar. You got 25 days. You'll get that later. I'm just making sure you're awake. Use an Advent calendar with scripture, okay? The Advent season looks forward to the coming of Christ at Christmas. And the Advent comes from a word that actually means coming. That's what it means, coming. And you know that it's done the four Sundays before Christmas, right? So get a calendar. I use that Advent calendar with Scripture. It will provide you with a daily reminder from Scripture and help you renew your mind as Christmas Day approaches. It's a great way to do it. Next one, listen to Christ-exalting Christmas music. Now, did you hear what I said? Christ-exalting Christmas music. So much Christmas music is meaningless fluff, lacking any mention of Christ and lacking substance. Well, the weather outside is frightful, and the fire, baby, it's cold as ice. I mean, there's billions of songs, right? All titled Christmas, and yet there's no Christ in them. It's false. No, I'm not saying they're not good songs to listen to. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that maybe we should fill our spirit with songs that exalt Christ in Christmas. Right? And we have a whole bunch of songs. Even classical music has some wonderful, like the Messiah and all of those type of classical music things that you could listen to. Just uplifting of Christ. And although there are many catchy songs, most do not do the job of glorifying, or they do a better job of glorifying snow. I'm looking at the snow coming down. These songs do a better job glorifying snow than they do Christmas. Right? Almost every Christmas song has something with snow in it. Wouldn't it be great if every Christmas song had something about Christ in it? That'd be even great. Christ has given us so much. Why would we not sing about him at Christmas time? And so if you're going to write this down, because this is going to come fast at you, get ready for these scriptures because it's not on a slide. Ready? Through him, we have the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:7. And a new life in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Holy Spirit living in us, Romans 8, verse 11. An eternal inheritance in heaven with Christ, 1 Peter 1:4. Don't get me wrong. Snow is not bad, but Christ is so much better. Amen? Amen? All right. Next one, keeping Christ at Christmas. Remember the dangers of materialism. Okay? Don't let yourself or your children get sucked into the materialistic trap that exists at Christmas. If you are a parent, it is especially important that you make sure your kids understand at an early age that Christmas is not about getting presents and having more possessions. I'm not saying don't do gifts. I'm not saying don't wrap them up and make them pretty. But I am saying that as much as you talk about those things, you better be talking twice as much about Jesus so that they understand what it's really about. Okay? Next one, make a highlight of your Christmas serving others. Christ himself did not come to be served, but to serve. That's from Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Christmas can be a very self-centered time, and serving others provides you with an opportunity to think about and meet the needs of others. Serving can happen in your church, a homeless shelter, giving a gift to a child of a prisoner, and there's so many other ways. We can be creative to share the love of Christ. And the last one is this: share Christ with others. The Christmas season may be the best time to invite people to church and strike up spiritual conversations. What a great way to invite somebody to church. Hey, we're doing a candlelight service. It's amazing. We sing all the songs our parents used to sing. Oh, come and just hear the story. It's great. And there'll be snacks and stuff afterwards. Somebody work on that for me, the snack thing. The topic of Christmas and Jesus Christ will come up often. Take advantage of that and share the life-giving truth of the gospel. Take advantage of the fact that people are not satisfied with candy canes and mistletoe and that they long for something deeper, something more satisfying. And that something is Jesus. Jesus Christ will satisfy all of their thirsts, their longings of this life and the life to come. Amen. In closing, I'm just going to really read quickly Luke 2, verses 1 through 14. This is part of what I read to the children every year. And since you're my spiritual children, I'm going to read it to you. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." What is something that is missing this Christmas season? The something is Christ. Like the shepherds, you have heard God's Christmas message, not as personally or directly, but after it has stood the test of time. It is still changing lives today. Like the shepherds, though, if you hear the Christmas message, you don't come to the Savior personally, you won't ever get the true joy, peace, and goodwill the Christmas message brings. The Christmas message is really not just information, but an invitation from God to you to come to the Savior and receive eternal life. Peace, joy, goodwill are simply the byproducts of eternal life the Savior gives. You can't bypass the Christmas message, the manger, or the Savior and still get peace, joy, and goodwill. Let's put Jesus back into Christmas. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, help us to keep our focus first on Christmas this season. Please forgive us for giving too much time and attention on other things. Help us to reflect again on what Christmas is really all about. Thank you that you came to give new life, peace, hope, and joy. Thank you that your power is made perfect in our weakness. Help us to remember that the gift of Christ, Emmanuel, is our greatest treasure, not just at Christmas time, but for the whole year. Fill us with your joy and the peace of your Spirit. Direct our hearts and minds towards you. Thank you for your reminder that both in seasons of celebration and in seasons of brokenness, you're still with us, for you never leave us. Thank you for your daily powerful presence in our lives, that we can be assured your heart is towards us, your eyes are over us, and your ears are open to our prayers. Thank you that you surround us with favor as with a shield, and we are safe in your care. We choose to press in close to you today and keep you first in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Is something stirring inside? Let that flow as we demonstrate Christ in Christmas. Amen. I love you all. Remember next Sunday, no morning service. Remember candlelight at 6 next Sunday. And you want to be here like at least by 5:30, because we will start at 6. The lights go down and we begin. Okay. Bring some people with you. Let them be blessed to hear the message of Christ as you choose this week to put Christ back in Christmas. Amen. God bless you and shalom.